Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Kia ora, and welcome to part three of The Oldest Profession, RNZ's short series on the sex industry. I'm Philippa Tolley. In this episode, I've been out on the streets to find out a bit about what it's like to ply your trade from the pavement.
I think it's weird, even now, the actual act of having sex with a stranger for money as a service or whatever. It is quite bizarre. It's weird, and you just get into your this is work mode and boom, but it's still odd.
Talk about prostitution, and the image that often pops into the mind first is of scantily clad women soliciting from the street. But in reality, this is the smallest part of the industry. That said, every city, and even some smaller towns, have roads that are known as the place to go. And the spot in Wellington is Marion Street in the centre of the city, and nearby Vivian Street, still home to a sex club. And this is where street-based worker Jenna finds her clients before heading elsewhere for sex.
I've been working as a sex worker for about 4 years. And street work, I've only done on and off about the last year. But I really like being my own boss, and it's something I do casually as I need the money now, because I'm not that committed to working all the time. It's not for me in my personal situation, but that's the thing with sex work, is that you always have the skills. You know how to hustle, you know what sort of is required, what sort of location, how to get money, how to keep safe, all of that stuff. Those are the skills that I'm talking about, not actual sex skills, which most people have. But yeah, those are the things. And when you know how to do that, that's why it's hard to stop, because oh, I'm broke. I'll just do a job. You know, why not?
The best working times for Jenna are often those in the wee small hours of the weekend, when clients cruise by and a deal is worked out before heading inside somewhere. But it's a chilly weekday afternoon when Jenna chats to me about why she chose sex work.
It started when I was 41, out of necessity. Yeah, I had an ex-husband who didn't want to pay his child support entitlement. I had a normal job for a media company. I've got a Bachelor of Arts. And, yeah, had a reasonably okay life as a single mother. But I ended up losing my job. The stress of taking my ex-husband to court, 3-year battle. It was very, very stressful. I couldn't work. The stress was too much. He wouldn't, say, for example, wouldn't have the kids in school holidays. Ended up with the benefit, and I thought, well, I can't survive on the benefit either. I had two sons, one autistic, so required a 3-bedroom house. I couldn't survive, and so I felt I could at least try that, and I thought I could keep it discreet and not tell anyone, but it doesn't work like that. People do find out, including your family, and yeah, Sif's actually told my parents and my ex-husband. And absolutely ruined my life. Now my parents still judge me a lot. But you learn to just be strong and just, oh, you're never going to know. And I always say no one that's ever worked has an opinion that matters, because they're not going to know until you've had to do it, until you've done it. You've got no right to comment, and no, nothing you say matters actually to us, because we're the only ones that know what it's like. And we are actually human beings who don't deserve to be judged.
So as you can hear, for Jenna, the decision to get into sex work has meant strained family relationships and a great deal of hurt. She's annoyed by the way people generalise and bundle up a whole lot of preconceived notions.
There is that association. If you're known to be this, then you must be that, and that, and that, and that. And that's the hardest, is, yeah, that you have to prove that you're not a piece of shit, basically.
So the feeling is that if you're a sex worker, then there must be other things that come with it, such as drug use, criminal connections, maybe.
Yeah, because you're a drug addict. You must, and you must know a lot of criminals, and you must therefore be involved in crime. And which, some of us get mixed up in different things. And, that has been in my life because of various reasons. Some my own fault, some people that I've associated with, ex-boyfriends and stuff. And that's one of the reasons the police don't like us. They generally don't like us much as a group. They are very anti. I mean, things are changing a bit, but they have traditionally been not good because of the association with gangsters. And, people think we just hone around with gangsters, which is, not true. I mean, it might be for some girls, but certainly not as a general rule.
The skills Jenna is most proud of have grown out of sex work, greater compassion and understanding. But pretty much the number one skill is a sense of humour.
I think it's weird even now, the actual act of having sex with a stranger for money as a service or whatever. It's quite bizarre. It's weird and you just get into your this is work mode and boom. But it's still odd. Yes, because you never know how it's going to go. You never know quite what's going to go right or wrong. So it's kind of like being a policeman, You just don't know what sort of day you're going to have. It could be, your work stories could be either good or bad. But interesting as well.
Most for people that are not connected with the industry at all, that's what they would find quite difficult to get their head around.
Yeah, they think it's kind of ill to have a lot of sex, but you're not necessarily having a lot of sex. Like at the moment, I have less than I did before when I had a partner. So, and I get offered to do freebies or whatever a lot, and I say no, thank you. Don't really need to do that. And I don't do casual sex. I'm not interested in it. It's not part of what I do. And that pisses people off. But again, it's made me really value myself in terms of sexual availability and. Yeah, so, whereas once upon a time I might have just, got drunk and had a one-night stand, now I couldn't think of anything worse. So, we're businesswomen, we're not sluts. But you have to like sex. It's not the sort of job you can do if you don't like sex. But I have quite good ability to, as an older woman, I think, to get into a sort of zone where I'm sort of somewhere else or I'm not sort of me thinking, and also I've got the skills to, if I'm in a situation where I'm uncomfortable or something's gross, or I change it by doing whatever.
But this won't be a long-term option.
It's not a career for me at all, and I wouldn't really recommend it as a career for anyone, but that's their choice. I mean, some women, that's all they've ever done after leaving school, which is pretty scary, really.
Why wouldn't you recommend it?
Because it's hard. It's hard, and you do need to have other things in your life. It's a part-time kind of casual thing for me. It doesn't define me. I'm not just a hooker.
Manchester Street, near the centre of Christchurch, is the place where sex workers hang out.
It's quite a quiet Tuesday night. There are not so many people working. We did find one sex worker, Carla, and we're going to have a chat to her about what it was like working on Manchester Street. But she was high, and she didn't want to talk to us. Well, not then anyway. She'd be happy if we came back in an hour or two. We went further down the street, and when we stopped, it looked a bit like maybe a customer was drawing up to see if we were sex workers. The street's open, there's nothing special about it, it's not a red light area. There are office buildings, there's a church, a school. But this is the main area, as if you work in a street in Christchurch, this is where you come.
Coral is perched on a low wall waiting for a client as she needs money for cigarettes.
I thought I'd come out tonight because I thought it'd be a good night, but not really. It's not really good at all. always call myself a special on Easter and Christmas and New Year's, of course, you know. It's only time I come out.
Cora looks like she's seen a lot of life, and she says she works on the street as the sickness benefit only covers life's bare necessities.
It's not too bad. Depends who you get. If you get nice people, that's not too bad. Most of them are nice clients. You pick and choose who you go with. You know, some young fella pulls up. I've had young fellas pull up with, said, we need money, and I said, no. I said, you're too young. So don't do that. Some girls might do that, but not me. It's not me. Got my,
and people are pretty good about paying? They don't try and get away without paying?
No, they pay. They pay well. They pay before they do the job, so that's good.
Is that best practice?
Yes. Take the money before anything happens.
The prize for the sex area with the most personality would probably go to Auckland's Karangahape Road.
Karangahape Road in Auckland's CBD is one of the traditional areas where street workers operate. They've been working out of K Road since the 90s, when their work moved around the corner from Upper Queen Street. K Road itself now has informal agreements governing where the sex workers operate. There are different areas for female workers, transgender workers, in different streets for Māori and Pacifica.
But K Road doesn't hold exclusive rights to the city's street workers, and many started their time in the sex industry in South Auckland. That includes Mimi, whose voice has been disguised.
So I pulled my first trick or job when I was 11. So when I was around that age, me and my cousins used to roam the streets to scab money for food. And yeah, a guy offered to pay me money and buy food and if I did some sexual acts with him. And then, yeah, that's how I first started.
At that time, did you sort of understand what he was asking?
No, I didn't. Looking back, no.
At 11, did it just become a constant thing then?
So it was there, but I was still involved with whānau, so I was whāngai, so I lived with different family members. It was my secret, and I knew if I needed money, I could do it. It wasn't until I was 14 and I went through my transition, becoming transgender. I left home and I ran away, and because my family didn't understand, and my dad's side of the family, they were gang-related, gang members, and so I didn't want to expose myself to them because I was scared. So I ran to the streets and I met up with other trans women who just happened to be sex workers and drug addicts. And then at 14, I went full-time sex working from then on. There were many young trans women the same age as me who had gone to the streets, similar backgrounds, similar stories, and we just became a family, yeah. For that, yeah, 18 years on, yeah.
There was no sense of social workers coming to talk to you?
No, because I was in the youth courts, I think. And I remember getting sent with another trans young girl. We got sent to a home where they have other, I don't know, they're foster kids or whatever. And they even let us go out at night to go do our thing.
What did they think you were doing?
They knew what we were doing. Yeah.
And why did they think that was okay, do you think?
I remember them, like, holding us hostage, not in a mean way, but just holding us in the toilets, telling us, you know, it's wrong and da-da-da. And they did try and stop us, but we left anyway, and then they let us come back. I didn't last long there. I was in many homes. Yeah, always ran away. And because I knew if I wanted a place to stay or money, I knew where to get it from.
And so all that time you were running back to the street?
Yeah. And that wasn't necessarily South Auckland. It was actually anywhere in Auckland. Yeah, there were dirty old men everywhere.
This lifestyle continued throughout her teens.
It was fun too at times.
What sort of things were fun? The family side.
Oh, so like, you know, we'd all go out there, make our money, and then we all went clubbing. So I was clubbing at 14, 15. And, you know, and we'd crash at. So there'll be like 10 girls in one house. We'll crash and then the next day we'll go shopping and spend our evenings and do it all again.
But the sense of family and happy times had a dark underside of drugs and frequent violence.
Well, I was always numbed by drugs, so, yeah. And that was part of the whole sex working life too. I mean, I wouldn't be able to do it sober or straight, yeah. Yeah, there were many times where I was in situations where at knife point I bashed by carloads, put in hospital, yeah. But you just dust yourself off and get back out there.
Why do you think that was? Why do people do that?
I think being trans, that whole thing around, yeah, and just with the trans girls out there, we're easy target.
But something for Mimi did change, slowly.
I started looking at what was around me, because I never did all those years. When I started looking around me, I mean like the public, society, and just watching people getting on with their days and going to work and people, you know, school and education. I just used to sit there on the streets, actually when I was in K Road, and I used to sit there and think to myself, I wonder what that feels like. Yeah, and then, yeah, that's how I was in the last year before I left. But I knew I needed treatment, so, for my drug addiction. So I used to go to the girls for support. But their way of supporting me was, here, put your arm out. And they'll give me a blast. Because they didn't know, and I knew I needed more than that. Yeah.
So the drugs were out of your life. What about the sex work?
Oh, when I left the streets and I got myself into treatment and that, I just left everything behind.
And that's stayed the same now?
Yes, although I have doing a few private jobs here and there. Yeah.
So the sex industry is still part of Mimi's life, but now she's studying too. I wondered if working on the streets for 17 or 18 years had left a legacy for her. Mimi thinks she's okay after a lot of therapy. Now she spends time with her sister's family, and while an unfamiliar experience, she likes it.
Looking back now, if you could talk to your 11-year-old self, what would you say?
Go home. I'd bring her up ass and tell her to get home.
You've been listening to episode 3 of The Oldest Profession, a podcast series looking at New Zealand's sex industry. You can find all 3 episodes in the series in the podcast and series section on the RNZ website, or head to iTunes. The studio engineer for the series was Phil Bench. I'm Philippa Tolley, and thanks for listening.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.